Worship team for leading us in worship this morning. I don't know if you noticed it, but most of the words in those songs were absolutely glorious, theologically accurate, and worthy of us to sing to our great God and Savior. If you would take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 2, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 7. I would remind you of the open house at our house this afternoon from 3 o'clock to 7. And give you my personal invitation. We would so love to have all of you come and hang out and eat up some of that food that's all over the place. Because if you don't come eat it, then I'll have to. And that will only add to my holiday weight gain. So come and see us between 3 and 7. We'd love to have you there. The address is in the bulletin. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. And this registration took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. So everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him snugly in cloth and laid him in a feeding trough, because there was no room for them in the inn. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you would be kind to us this morning if you would convince us ever more deeply than ever before that for Jesus to come at Christmas was a massive sacrifice of eternal, infinite proportion. And that his entrance into the world was a sacrifice so great that it would accomplish the redemption of a world full of sinners to those who would believe in Jesus' name. Amen. Mary laid Jesus, the Son of God, present in creation of the universe, worshipped by angels, the firstborn over all creation, in a feeding trough. That's a sacrifice. It wasn't a sacrifice for Mary, but such a sacrifice for Jesus to find himself the Creator, the Sustainer, the Lord of the universe, to find himself in such a humble means. That is a sacrifice probably second only to the sacrifice that Jesus made when he went to the cross. It's very common for us to think of the cross, the journey that Jesus made up the hill to go to the cross, to be crucified, to pay for sin. It's very common for us to think of that as a huge sacrifice, and it was. We don't tend to think of Christmas, the coming of Jesus, as a large sacrifice, and it was as well. If I am dreading surgery or not looking forward to it, as I was this spring, I had a little thing in my heart that made my heart go fast, and so the doctors down there said if we can go in there with some tools, three or four different places, and do a little adjustment in your heart, we can make that stop. And I'll tell you, the real burden wasn't just making the appointment to go for the surgery, the burden was to make the appointment to go to make the appointment. So that when I decided that I was going to go in and get this checked and get this fixed, that was a commitment that I knew would probably end up in something happening that I wouldn't enjoy very much. Now, I enjoy the results of what they did in my heart. I didn't enjoy the process very much. And the commitment really wasn't made when I went in for the appointment, for the procedure. It was made when I made the appointment for the appointment. And Jesus, in the same way, when he came to earth at Christmas, when he landed in this manger as a baby, the course of history was already set. The journey to the cross started by a journey from a manger. And so Jesus, humble and obedient, willingly came for a journey to the cross that would start in a manger. And that's why we talk about today the sacrifice of Christmas, which was the obedience of Jesus Christ. Everywhere I look in the Christmas story, I see sacrifice. We sang about it. Mary's reputation was at stake because she was engaged and she was having a baby, and everybody drew their own conclusions except for those who knew, except for those maybe like Joseph, that the angel explained it. Joseph sacrificed his reputation, his occupation, his safety, his home. The wise men sacrificed their plans and their reputation, their journey, by going back a different way. But the greatest sacrifice of all was the sacrifice made by Jesus Christ Himself, the babe that we sing about, who came and laid in a manger wrapped snugly in cloth. Jesus left a glorious dwelling in heaven. You know, the Bible says that in my Father's house are many mansions. It doesn't say there's going to be. It says, in my Father's house are many mansions. They're there right now. Jesus was there. Jesus was there before He came. Jesus came from my Father's house where there are many mansions in fellowship with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. He came from that environment to be delivered as a baby and laid in a feeding trough. That's a sacrifice. Jesus came as a helpless infant. I would have expected the Lord and Savior to come riding in a tornado or a lightning bolt or a chariot of fire or with an entourage of maybe 50 or 60 billion angels paving the way and maybe knocking everybody dead who won't bow. But no, Jesus came in a manger. Philippians chapter 2 verse 7 says, He was made in the likeness of men, like you and me. And little kids, just the way you guys came into this world, like a little baby, that's the way Jesus came, very humble, very obedient. Jesus sacrificed His subjection to human parents. Jesus, as a baby, was subject to His parents. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2, verse 51, and He, Jesus, went down with them, and He came to Nazareth, and He was subject unto them, His parents. Jesus, the Creator of the universe, found Himself willingly subjecting His obedience to His parents as He should. Jesus sacrificed to have His God-ordained purpose disguised in temporal man. Jesus sacrificed to have the most glorious purpose ever in the universe, the sanctification of men, the glory of paying for sin, the forgiveness offered to men. He disguised that in a temporal man, just a person. In Matthew 13:55, the Scriptures say that they kept saying, isn't this the carpenter's son? Jesus, God of the universe, firstborn over all creation, worshipped by angels. And people are going, I don't get this guy. Is he just like some carpenter's son? Jesus disguised that eternal purpose in a temporal man. The story is told of Booker T. Washington, who was a renowned black educator and was an outstanding example of this truth. Shortly after he took over the presidency of the Tuskegee Institute in Alabama, he was walking in an exclusive section of town, and a woman saw him there and asked if he'd like to make a few extra dollars. And he said, sure. And so she had some wood that she asked for him to split, and he didn't have much else to do that afternoon. And so he went over there and he split all the wood for the woman, and she handed him a few dollars. And then one of her persons at her house said, that was Booker T. Washington. And she was like, what? Yes. So the next day she went down to see Mr. Washington in his office at the Institute. And she apologized profusely and said, I'm so sorry. Had I known the stature of who you were and where you were the president, I never would have asked you to do that. And he said, ma'am, it's quite all right. You see, occasionally, I enjoy a little bit of manual labor. She shook his hand warmly. And she assured him that his meek and gracious attitude had endeared him and her work to her. Not long afterwards, she showed her admiration by persuading many of her wealthy friends to join her in donating thousands of dollars to the Tuskegee Institute. Jesus knowingly embraced the state of man, knowing that He would be simply discredited as a carpenter's son or overlooked or disregarded. He knowingly embraced that situation with no deterrent to His mission because He knew that God would provide the solution to His mission. Jesus sacrificed by having the patience to have 90% of His life be preparation for ministry. Now I realize that all of the life of Jesus was some sort of ministry and as He was learning, but if you think about it, Jesus was on earth for 30 years or so. Probably about 30 or 31 years that Jesus spent on earth, and roughly about 3 years of that were what we see as the ministry of Christ, the part that's recorded in the New Testament. We really don't have very much about Jesus from birth to when He was about 28 or 29, 90% of the life of Jesus was in essence a preparation for the ministry that He would do that would only last 3 years. 27, 28, 29 years of preparation to come on the scene as the one who would preach good news to others. Jesus came and spent much of His life in preparation for that part that would be His ministry. My good friend Nat called me this week from Louisville, Kentucky. I had heard about this, but he called and I was talking to him and he told me what happened this April of this year. He was in his house watching television and he got a little bit of a headache and he passed out and fell on the floor. He woke up just a little bit later and he wasn't feeling very good, so he made his way into the bedroom where his wife was, and he said, "I'm not feeling very good. My head's killing me. I don't know what I'm going to do." And he fell down in the bed and they called 911 and they ambulanced him off to the hospital and found that he had had an aneurysm in his brain that had burst. And he said, "Kevin, I woke up weeks later. I didn't know what was going on. And my children were there because they called them in because they said I probably wouldn't make it." And he told me that most of the people that have brain aneurysms either die or are seriously affected for the rest of their lives, paralyzed on one side or the other. Very serious things happen. And he said, "That happened to me." He says, "Kevin, I'm alive. I'm well. I'm back. I have all my feeling back." Now, he's a UPS pilot and they won't let him fly right now, but he says, "I expect in a year or so to be flying." And he says, "Kevin, I don't get this, but I'm about the same age as you, and this happened. I should be dead right now, but I'm not." And I said, "Nat, God's got something for you to do. God's got something for you to do, and maybe the first 50 years of your life is just preparation for what God has on the horizon for you, the things that you can do and teach and bring glory to God. And the same is true for you, beloved. Maybe much of your life is preparation for the vision or the ministry that God has for you. Moses spent 40 years in the wilderness. Paul spent years being trained. And maybe the mission and ministry that God has for you is still yet to come. Jesus came and spent much of His life on earth preparing for 3 years of ministry. Jesus came to sacrifice for us at Christmas, and He wants us to have the same mindset that He had. Philippians 2 verse 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but He made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Himself the form of a servant." And God would have us to do the same. I want us to look at a few of the sacrifices that Jesus made for us that we are to make as well. Jesus came to forgive. Forgiving is a sacrifice. Forgiving implies that someone has done wrong, or someone has done you wrong, or someone has been unkind or evil or inappropriate, and forgiveness implies that you have been wronged. When you forgive someone, that means you release them of the debt that they owe you, and that's what Jesus did on the cross. Jesus came to give His life, to sacrifice His life, a perfect, sinless sacrifice, so that He could forgive those who have sinned against God, and that's every one of us. Jesus came to forgive the sins of men, and it's a sacrifice to forgive an offender, and God calls us to make the same sacrifice. I think even of the holidays, as so many spend much time with much of their family, I think of those little things that creep in, those little memories. Those little things that when this family comes or that family comes, you're reminded of the offense of years ago, or the bitterness, or the anger, or the thing that that person said a month ago, a year ago, 10 years ago. And I would say to you this morning, offer up the sacrifice of forgiveness. And yes, you can forgive people sometimes even if they aren't repentant, and I would encourage you to do that. Make the sacrifice like Christ to forgive an offender. And Jesus came also to make the sacrifice of obedience. Jesus was obedient to the will of the Father, and to journey to and through this earth for Him was not a picnic. It was not easy. It was a challenge. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said that one of the best acts of obedience, he said that any act of obedience is better than 100 sermons. In other words, to obey is better than to hear 100 sermons about doing it. And Jesus Christ came and totally fulfilled the commands of God, the will of God on the earth in total obedience. And He asks us to do the same. Roger Staubach was who led the Dallas Cowboys to the World Championship in 1971. He admitted one time that his position as a quarterback who didn't call his own signals was a source of trial for him. Coach Landry sent in every play for him. He told Roger when to pass, when to run, and only in emergency situations could Roger change the play. And even though Roger considered Coach Landry to have a genius mind, he said when it came to football strategy, pride said that he should be able to call his own plays for his own team. Roger said later, "I faced up to the issue of obedience. And once I learned to obey my coach, in my team there was harmony and fulfillment, and there was victory. And the same is true for you." Jesus was 100% obedient to the will of God the Father, and He calls for us to do the same. And when you commit your life to be 100% obedient, and yes, sometimes it's a sacrifice, I know it's true, when you commit to be 100% obedient, you will find harmony and fulfillment and victory. Jesus also sacrificed patience. Jesus sacrificed to be patient. Mary obeyed when she didn't get everything that was going on around her in life, and she already knew that Jesus' lifespan might be kind of short because of the mission that He came to do, but every part of Jesus' life was with purpose. We referred to that earlier, that 90% of that life was in preparation. And Jesus was patient as He grew up, as a small boy, not doing lots of sermons and lots of upfront ministry, but He was patient for the will of God to come to pass in His life. And sometimes patience is a sacrifice. It's easy for a parent to want a child to grow up too quickly. It's easy for a small group leader to want small group members to mature quickly and to have the right answers and to understand the Bible. It's easy for churches to want people to grow up too quickly in their faith, but sometimes it's a sacrifice to be patient, to let God do His work. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus was patient as He went through His life and as He grew up, and He's matured as a man until He came to the place of His ministry. Jesus also submitted His resources. You know, Jesus wasn't known on earth for being wealthy or rich, even though He was a king. Jesus embraced poverty for the kingdom and gave up the majesty of heaven. And when they asked Him where He lived, Jesus said, "Well, I really don't have any place I consistently lay my head. No big house, no car, no place I lay. I have places where I go from time to time. Don't really have a place to lay my head." He embraced that poverty to accomplish His mission. Beloved, God asks the same thing for us. God may not ask us to embrace poverty for His mission, but He asks us to submit our resources. Did you know that the church at large in 1933, during the height of the Depression, the church at large gave more to the work of God than they're giving today? In the Depression, when my grandparents, my great-grandparents, lived in the basement of a barn because their house burned down, they had no money to rebuild it, no insurance. They lived in the cellar of a barn for many, many months because they didn't have any money. And that time in the history of America is when Christians were giving more than they are today. I would pray that we'd be more faithful with our resources. A survey I read recently said that if church members gave just 10% of their income to the church, it would add $131 billion to the budgets of churches this year. $131 billion if churches members were just faithful to give 10%. Beloved, Jesus came and submitted His resources willingly and lived in relative poverty to advance the kingdom of God, and God would call us to make the same sacrifice. And Jesus loved His enemies. For Jesus to come at Christmas time in a manger to go on a journey to the cross is for Him to love His enemies. And the Bible tells us that God loved us while we were still sinning, while we were still sinners. And so Jesus loved us, and Jesus made His sacrifice while we were still disobedient, while we were still, His Bible says, His enemies. It's easy for you to love the people that love you. It's easy to love them back. It's difficult to love your enemies, and Jesus did, and He asks for us to do the same thing. Matthew chapter 5, verse 39 says, "Love your enemies and pray for them, and you will be the sons of your Father in heaven." That is hard. It's difficult to love people who aren't lovely, to love people who are your enemies. And God did it for us, and He calls us to do it for others. And lastly, Jesus came to bear the burdens of others. Jesus came to bear the burdens of others. What a sacrifice. Listen to these words from Isaiah chapter 53. Listen to the sacrifice that Jesus made. "Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He," that is Jesus, Jesus grew up before us like a young plant, like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or splendor that we should look at Him, no appearance that we should desire Him, and He, Jesus, was despised and rejected by men. He was a man of suffering who knew what sickness was, and He was like one people turned away from. He was despised and we didn't value Him, and yet He bore our sickness, and He carried our pains. And we in turn regarded Him as stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. He was pierced because of our transgressions. He was crushed because of our iniquities. The punishment so that we could have peace was on Him, and by His wounds we have been healed. That's our Savior. That's the Lord of the universe, Jesus Christ, God Almighty, worshipped by angels, who came down so that His wounds could be for us. He loved His enemies and He bore our burdens. And beloved, God tells you in Galatians chapter 6 to bear the burdens of others. What burden can you help someone else bear this morning? What sacrifice can you make modeling the sacrifice of Jesus to bear the burdens of others? Maybe it's an ear. Maybe it's a shoulder. Maybe it's a home. Maybe it's a bed. Maybe it's a dollar. But God would have you bear the burdens of others as He did for us. Jesus sacrificed so much when He came at Christmas. He was so obedient to the Father's will that God has exalted Him above all as a result. On Friday, January 18th, 2008, Fox News carried the story of Lorraine Allard, 33 years of age, who gave birth to a healthy son. The reason that it was newsworthy is she was found to have cancer, and she was 4 months pregnant, and the doctor said that the only way that she could live would be for her to abort the baby and to go immediately into cancer treatment, knowing that the cancer treatment would kill the unborn child. Lorraine had a choice. She could delay her treatment to save her baby, or she could terminate the pregnancy to save herself. She chose to wait until the fetus was viable before scheduling a cesarean section. She said, "If I'm going to die, my baby is going to live." Lorraine had bowel cancer that had gone undetected for a long time and eventually had spread to her liver. She realized that something was wrong after she began suffering from stomach cramps, and tests revealed that her liver was full of malignant tumors. The doctor said they couldn't do anything because she was pregnant, and she told them, "You'll have to wait." Lorraine was positive all the way through, her husband said, and she had strength for both of us. I can't begin to describe how brave she was all the time. And as the time for the baby's arrival came, she knew things weren't going well, but she was overjoyed because she had given birth to the son she had prayed and waited for, Liam. The baby came a week early, and Allard, Lorraine, 33, gave birth on November 18th to a healthy but premature boy. Exactly 2 months later, Lorraine died. She had begun chemotherapy just after her son's birth, but in the end it was too late. You see, the courageous and selfless mother was just able to go out of bed a few times and hold her tiny son several times by his incubator before his death. Lorraine made a choice, and her choice that she made was to sacrifice her life so the life of her child could live, and Jesus made the same sacrifice for us. Jesus, in the world that He created, made the sacrifice to come and say, "I'll live a sinless, perfect life. I'll live on earth as no one else has ever lived. I will live a life that's perfect and able to be sacrificed for others so that my children, those who believe in Me, will be able to live because I will pay for their sin by My death on the cross." And beloved, Jesus made that choice not when He had the first nail go into His hand at the cross, but He made that choice when He landed in a manger wrapped snugly in cloth. Christmas was a huge sacrifice for Jesus Christ, and He calls for us to sacrifice for Him as well. Beloved, honor Jesus. Worship Him. Tell Him you love Him. Thank Him when you pray. Tell Him that you're thankful for what He did, for everything He did. Forgive others. Obey Him. Be patient. Submit your resources. Love your enemies and bear the burdens of others. Committed to be Christ-like, with Christ's example to follow, and with His help to be obedient. The sacrifice of Christmas. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, There is no way that we can adequately thank you for the sacrifice that you made for us. So we just say one more time, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for coming. Thank you for the manger. Thank you for growing up. Thank you for being obedient to your parents. Thank you for teaching. Thank you for your ministry. And thank you for the cross. And thank you for forgiveness of sin. Father, forgive me when I do not value your sacrifice as I ought. And may we worship you because you sacrificed so much for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
My Lord, I did not choose you, for that could never be. My heart would still refuse you, had you not chosen me.